Ted, you're going to the studio in a little bit.
All right. Hey, guys. Yeah, welcome to the Infamous Podcast. This is episode 54. So we're kicking off year two. Woohoo!
I thought we did that last week.
No, I guess we did. Yeah. I don't know. All right. So this week, it's me, Brian.
Me, Johnny.
And then Mystery Voice.
Me, David.
What? David's back. All right. So
this is the episode where we refer to ourselves as me.
Me. Yeah. We're all just me today.
The three me's.
Me, yeah. I'm feeling very bad. It's bizarro world.
Are we the new Dark Trinity?
Oh, there you go.
There we go. There you go. I call dibs on Red Hood.
Oh, I'm bizarro.
All right, so since we have David with us this week, we are going to talk about San Diego Comic-Con, which just ended a couple days ago. I think David maybe got some sleep between now and then, so he should be a little more well-rested.
Did you get some sleep between now and then?
A little bit, yeah. It feels like it just keeps going, though.
How many hours?
I'm still in Comic-Con mode right now.
Yeah, how many hours of sleep do you get during Comic-Con?
Not much. I mean, because, you know, you get up at 6 a.m. every day, and then you go to bed at 2, and, you know, so you just, it's not about the sleep, you know. You just kind of just push through it, and, I mean, it's all worth it in the end, but you definitely don't get a lot of sleep.
No. Is it more work for you, or is it more fun?
Yeah, I think I was talking to my friend Michael Medina, who works over at Collider and with Think Hero, and I think we shot 18 videos.
Wow.
Total, and that's not even including all the hours of panels we sat through. Like, I know we're going to talk about the CW shows later and all that, and I think we were in Ballroom 20 for like 6 or 7 hours that day, just watching panels. So
for those who don't know, Ballroom 20 was where all the CW stuff was announced?
It was. Ballroom 20, so Hall H is the biggest of the halls. I think it's like a little over 6,000 people. Ballroom 20, I think, is around 4,000.
Okay. All right.
So, yeah, it's a good crowd.
4,000 people?
Yeah, 4,000.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Well, Ballroom 20 is where we saw the Killing Joke.
Okay. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I watched it in my living room by myself. Hey,
that's all right. That's all right, though.
Like, only about 2 hours ago, so.
Oh, nice.
Oh, really? Oh, I thought you watched it last night.
I was having problems with downloading it, so I actually had to watch it on the computer.
Cool. All right, so first
off, why don't
we
just start with the
Killing Joke? Yeah, I was going to say, we've got a bunch of stuff to talk about. There were a ton of trailers. There was some X-Men news that I'm curious to get your guys' feedback on. I know I'm probably the bigger X-Men fan of the three of us, but some actual quote-unquote comic book news. And then we've got some Marvel shows to talk about, some DC shows to talk about. Same thing with movies, and then a Geoff Johns promotion. And then some other various things that really don't fit into DC or Marvel fully. But yeah, let's kick it off. So The Killing Joke, written by Alan Moore. Drawn by Brian
Bolin.
Thank you. I was having a brain fart there. So this was a highly anticipated animated movie.
Yeah.
So
I mean, you know, I was curious to see it.
Yeah. David, like, were you looking forward to this one?
Yeah, it was one of my most anticipated events at Comic-Con this year. I mean, it was a packed house, it was a lot of energy. Mark Hamill called in, you know, via phone.
Nice.
You know, Kevin Conroy was there. Tara Strong was there. Just a great panel. Brian Azzarello, Bruce Timm. Yeah, I was definitely pumped for this.
When was Tara Strong? Is that where she did her Harley Quinn like dominatrix cosplay?
She did. Yeah. Oh no, wow. I think she broke that out the day after. I saw pictures on Twitter of her. Yeah, dressed like that.
Yeah,
that
was Arkham Harley.
Yeah.
Wow.
No, she had a nice red dress on. Her hair. Oh, cool. She had like a red wig on.
So you got to sit through the quote-unquote shit show that was that panel then, where Brian Azzarello kind of went off on some fans.
Well, rightfully so. I mean, this person had an interesting question, and I guess we'll get into this when we talk about the movie more, but the thing is, they asked the question, you know how Comic-Con is, you get a lot of, I mean,
no,
me included.
I don't know how Comic-Con is, you jerk.
No, oh, sorry, I haven't been to Comic-Con. Not to rub it in, but you get some socially awkward people, you know, and they don't really know how to stick with a question. Like, the person asked a question, then kind of went away.
Right.
And I think because Azzarello was trying to get the person to, you know, talk to him more, you know, he wouldn't do it, and Brian Azzarello called him a pussy. Yeah. So, but I mean, that's who Brian Azzarello is, you know. I mean, he's a bit of a hothead.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it wasn't unexpected. This person was an adult, you know. It's not like it's some little kid he said that to. So I was like, right, yeah, man, right. If you're gonna call out Brian Azzarello, Bruce Timm, the, you know, some of the biggest names in Warner Brothers DC Entertainment, you better step up to that mic and say something. And that person kind of backed off a little bit. But yeah, you know what happened at the end? They got him a special edition version of The Killing Joke. And, you know, I think they talked to him for a while outside of that, you know, in a private conversation. So, you know, I mean, it all, you know, worked out.
That's interesting. Yeah, I told Brian I met Azzarello probably like it's been about 15 years ago now. And I said he's kind of a hard ass just on without being that way. It's not on purpose. It's just the way he is.
I don't look at him as a good enough writer to really like kind of.
Well, you gotta read the, like his stuff,
right? Yeah. Well, I mean, what's the one?
100 Bullets.
100 Bullets is my favorite thing he's written. But like when he writes the mainstream stuff,
yeah,
it's outside of the Flashpoint Batman stuff. I don't think I've ever liked any of it.
Oh, okay.
So,
all right. Well, fair enough.
But I mean that's me. All right. So, but The Killing Joke, it's turned out to be pretty controversial and divisive. Not on the level of Batman v Superman, but it's still pretty high up there.
Yeah. I don't see. I'm not like looking for that stuff. So well, not really.
I mean, as I was preparing, I came across all sorts of stuff. I know David and I have a different opinion of it, and I think you're more on my side.
I think
so. We're gonna gang up on David and
my.
And
young opinion. Oh, thanks, guys.
Well, no. Like I said, I just watched it, so it's a little bit fresher for me. And that where it's like, you know, I looked at it and I'm like, whoa, I didn't need that first half hour.
Yeah.
My problem was the way they edited it more than anything, because I think they should have done the scene where it starts the killing joke at the beginning and then went into the Batgirl story and then went back into the killing joke.
Sure.
Because I think, like, you don't call it the killing joke knowing it's a Joker story and then not introduce the Joker for 30 minutes.
31 minutes.
Yeah. Well, I'm not that technical. Sorry.
Well, I watched it twice.
Yeah.
So, and the second time I watched it, I actually went through with the comic.
Okay.
And like, it's panel for panel.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, it's been years since I read it, but I'm sitting there watching and going, wow, they really did a good job of adapting that story. I mean, especially when he looks in the water and sees his reflection, and it's, that's Brian Boland's image. That's not, you know, an animation image.
Yeah, there was a couple of those.
Yeah, but, I mean, that story is one of those ones that's ingrained in comic book history at this point. And it's like, you know, they did a really good job of adapting that. But the Batgirl story, I'm like, didn't really need to be there.
Right. Right. No. I mean, David, what do you think about that?
See, it's funny. I was kind of in a bubble, even though I hate to say that word bubble as I'm watching this with 4,000 people. But I was kind of in the Comic-Con bubble. So you got to realize, let me set it up for you. You go into Ballroom 20, you're sitting there, there's 4,000 people. And what they do is they open with the panel first. So, you know, you have everybody come out. You have Tara Strong, Kevin Conroy. You have the phone conference. You have Mark Hamill call in, and you have him doing his Joker impression. And you have, you know, Azzarello and Bruce Timm kind of breaking down why they did the movie the way they did. So before I saw a single minute of it, they kind of went through the reasons for having a longer and more intricate Barbara Gordon story in the beginning. So we already kind of knew what was going to happen. I mean, there was no spoilers, but at least we knew we're going to get about 20 to 30 minutes of a Batgirl story. So once it came on, you know, the crowd's reacting and the oohs and the ahs and, you know, that one controversial scene, which I'm guessing that's a spoiler, so maybe we won't say that. But like that, you know, brought up some conversation. But then after that, we went right from watching that to more of the panel, which is where Brian Azzarello called that one kid a pussy. And then we went out and did a shot of review at like 12:30 at night. So I was, you know, drained, and I was happy with what I saw, and it didn't bother me, because I think Bruce Timm and Brian Azzarello spelled out the reasons why they did that. They wanted to make the story more about her, even though I think it's the whole thing with, like, I mean, so, you know, it's very important with strong female characters now to include women in more things. And this story is mostly a Batman, Jim Gordon, and Joker story. And I think that whereas Batgirl is just a MacGuffin, you know, it's just a plot device. I think they wanted to give her more to do, and I understood them. I don't know if it worked perfectly. It's not a great story the first 20 to 30 minutes, but I thought it worked well enough within the context of the story for it to be successful. So for me, it didn't take it down a notch. I thought it was fine.
Yeah, you know, my opinion would have been more if they would have done, like, tied the Batgirl Year One story into it, where they introduced Batgirl as, do that as flashbacks, and then have it where she gets shot, would have been more, like, emotional than what they did, because in the end, she kind of just became a weepy character.
I mean, the whole thing is, the Killing Joke boils down to one bad day.
Yeah.
Like, the Joker had one bad day and ended up the Joker.
Yeah.
And from that, he wanted to prove that he could give Batman and Commissioner Gordon their one bad day.
Right.
And, you know, I think that the stuff that they did, like, I mean, Bruce Timm even said, well, we didn't want to stretch it out and, you know,
and
you know, make the story needlessly long. But that's exactly what they did, because that Paris France guy
that was
stupid.
Yeah.
And you know, the animation for Batgirl was great.
Yeah, the animation for the whole thing was good. I liked this Batman. Mm-hmm. This Batman was kind of like more creepy looking.
Well, and he wasn't like cut, and there weren't lines all over like the New 52 stuff.
Yeah.
That was my biggest concern, is they were going to New 52 eyes all of the
Well, he was more of a shadow. It was like he was there, but he wasn't there a lot of this movie. He wasn't there.
Right. But at the end of the day, what they did with Batgirl is essentially the girl in refrigerators thing.
Oh, okay.
They made
that
even more prevalent with the way they handled this. Because before, it was, she wasn't Batgirl. She'd been retired.
Yeah.
And you know, and she wasn't retired because she slept with whoever. And spoiler alert, Batgirl and Batman get down. Done. Anyway, but so she hadn't done that. She walked away on her own accord because nobody can deal with Batman for very long. He's just not likable. And anyway,
Damian can't.
Well, not really. I mean,
no, Damian's a whole different creature.
Damian can deal with him less than, he puts up with his shit less than anybody.
The only one who can deal with Bruce or Batman on a normal basis is Alfred.
Yeah.
Because Alfred's been there since the beginning.
Alfred's his dad, essentially.
Yeah.
But, I mean, do you guys disagree? Like, I feel like it took more away from Batgirl as a hero, the way they did.
Like, the way after the thing with them having sex, it was like, it just went a flip. It flipped, because she was kind of a strong character, and then it was just like, you know, she just became angry, and it's like, you became angry because Batman wasn't talking to you because you kind of took advantage of him? I mean, you know?
It was just all about a guy.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know. For me, whatever. I mean, if little girls can see this, which I don't know any parent
who would let their kid watch this.
I know I have a little girl. She's not watching this.
No.
One, you know, and she.
Well, it was that thing where they threw in like violent stuff that didn't need to be in it. They could have done the Killing Joke, which is a violent story, but isn't so violent that, you know, you wouldn't let a older kid, an 8-9-year-old, watch it. But they threw in that whole beginning with Paris, France, and all that, and it was like, well, you just wanted to push it to an R rating at that point. You know, throw in a few cuss words and throw in, you know, like showing a dead body and all that, just pushed it to an R rating, and it's like, well, you know, if that's what you want, that's what you get. But
I think if they wanted to take that stuff out and make it less jarring, they could have done it in the Batman the Animated Series art style.
Yeah.
Where it wouldn't have been, it would have been more cartoony.
Well,
it wouldn't have been
the
so
Batman
real.
Beyond Return of the Joker thing.
Well, yeah.
Where it's like, you know, they did edit that down.
Yeah,
enough
both
that kids
could
have watched it. And it's like, but it's just a vicious story either way.
David, did you ever see that one?
I did, yeah. So, I like that one. I did enjoy that.
I mean, and again, it's Mark Hamill doing his trickster voice as the Joker. And, you know.
Oh, you're trying to, yeah.
I'm being silly.
Yeah, you are being silly.
Anyway,
they are two different voices, really. I mean,
there's nuance, but yeah. But no, at the end of the day, will I watch it again? Sure. Am I going to watch the entire thing? No, I'm going to watch the last 45 minutes.
You're going to watch the Killing Joke.
They didn't need to stretch it out.
Right. That, like I said, if they would have edited it where that whole thing with them finding the bodies in the storage unit, put that in there, and then went into that thing where Batgirl's talking about one bad day happening and that, it's like the story would have made more sense, because it would have been, okay, the Joker's coming, but we don't know when the Joker's coming.
Right.
And, you know, it's like the Joker wasn't even there for the beginning of it. And it's like, well, you shouldn't have called it the Killing Joke.
No.
You should have just called it Batman One Bad Day and then just, you know. Sure. It's like, you know.
So.
I mean, it's the thing where I'm fine with them adapting these stories and that. Mm-hmm. But it's fun when they do an original story.
Yeah.
With these animated movies too, they've done it a few times. I mean,
well, and so next,
or
up
they've
is,
adapted a story enough that it's more original.
Right.
Like, I think Superman versus the Elite was
Superman
more
versus
original.
The Elite was the.
I enjoyed that one. That was one of my favorites.
Yeah,
and it was better than what happened in the comics.
Yeah, it was. The comics was like way darker.
Then with All Star Superman,
yeah,
that was a true adaptation.
Yeah,
like that is what they should have shot for, is to be All Star Superman.
Yeah.
With the Batman story.
Yeah.
So, because they did like the year one where they were relatively close, you know, they did the Dark Knight Returns with where it was the 2-part movie where it didn't need to be 2 parts. You know, I think
like if you're going to adapt a Batman story, like one that you would directly adapt would be like A Lonely Place of Dying.
Yeah.
Would be a good one to
Long
do
Halloween.
That. The Long Halloween, Nightfall you could adapt really well.
Yeah.
I mean,
No Man's Land.
Yeah. So. It's just with Nightfall you can leave out a lot of like obligatory stuff.
You don't have to do any of the Contagion or anything.
I mean,
like,
you could literally, there's like stories like Sword of Azrael, you could adapt that and it would be a really good, and if you did it in Joe Quesada style, I think it would be really good because that art for that story was like the best.
But then they're doing a DC movie and Marvel House.
It's funny, like, so. I know there's no use in arguing over like a classic story like, you know, the Killing Jokes. It's just, you know, it's classic. I'm not trying to pick on Alan Moore at all. He's one of my favorite writers, but I don't really like the idea of knowing the Joker's origin story. I never have. Like, for me, when I was watching the film, even though I know it's the book and everything, it's just I was watching that and I was like, I never like knowing where the Joker came from.
Well, and this
you know?
Was always
I mean,
an Elseworld
I know it's,
story.
The only part I've ever really, I mean, you know, the Batman in the Tim Burton, you know, 1989 Batman, you know, it was fine, but I feel like the Joker's so unknowable. Mm-hmm. He's scarier when you don't know where he comes
from. Well, right, yeah.
Him not having a name is important.
It's that whole Joker thing from The Dark Knight where he tells five different stories, and those are his origin stories because he's a multiple personality to himself.
Right. Exactly.
And it's one of those things where when Alan Moore wrote this book, I think it was right at that point where Crisis was over and it was like, we're doing origins of everybody and everything. And, you know, and they did it. And then eventually, like, they had called it, they had said it was an Elseworld.
Yeah.
And then it's back to being part of continuity.
Well, and they brought it in. And,
you know, it's one of those things where it's one of those stories where it's a really good story, but it should just be a standalone, this happened in an alternate universe type story.
Yeah, I agree.
And at this point, with this movie, it felt like an Elseworlds story because Batgirl and Batman getting together is like one of those things where I'm like, nah, that would never really happen.
They did it in the Batman Digital First, Batman Beyond 2.0.
Yeah.
Where Barbara had gotten pregnant and Batman was like, oh, well, tell Dick congratulations, and she goes, I'm 7 weeks pregnant, Dick's only been back for 3.
Okay.
And then he's like, Bruce Wayne's like, I have to have feelings, and, so you know, and then she ultimately loses it, but you know, I at the end of the day, this is something that I think,
because Batman can only have kids by Talia.
Yeah, well, who knows?
Well, that's so, in an Elseworld too. That's Kingdom Come. Yep. That's what Ibn al-Zufash.
Yeah But, at the end of the day, you know, I don't hate it. I didn't like the beginning. The part that's the Killing Joke is fan-freaking-tastic.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, that was the thing. Is like, I was like, you know, the first time I'm going to watch it, I'm going to watch the whole thing. But now it's like, I could just jump ahead to the story of the Killing Joke.
Yeah. All right. So then the next thing is Marvel. Marvel is essentially playing this game of chicken, essentially, with Fox Studios. There's not a Fantastic Four book right now because Marvel doesn't own the rights. And then now, come October, there aren't going to be any more X-Men books.
Oh, are they canceling everything?
They're all going away. Like, they're scattering
there
the teams.
There is a God!
middle fingers for you, my friend. But no, they're scattering these like these X-Men to the wind. There's not going to be a team. I mean,
was there ever really a team? They were always against each other.
So there's three main like team X-books.
I know.
Extraordinary. What I'm saying is
they just argue with each other so much that it's like, how much of a team are you?
Right, well, because they're a family, you know.
That's what you refer to them as the family. Avengers is a team.
Sure.
Yeah.
But but now because they don't own the rights, they're getting rid of this franchise essentially. Okay. And it is literally a pissing contest with Fox. They're like, okay, let's see how you do without support of the comics.
Yeah.
I don't know. How do you guys feel about that?
You do what you got to. It's business.
Yeah, I think it's business. And one thing with Fox has so much money. Like, the one thing with Sony is Sony was, you know, a little bit of trouble, you know, especially after the hacks and everything. They needed to kind of, like, go to Marvel for help. But even if Fox has a flop, they have so much money. They don't, I mean, you can't intimidate them. I don't think Fox doesn't care.
No.
I mean, it's too bad. Like, it hurts. I think it's bad for the comic book fans. I'm not an X-Men fan in terms of reading the comics on a weekly basis, but, you know, I have friends that are. Yeah. And I feel bad for them if they're going to lose these books because, I mean, it's an important series. It's an historic series. So I feel bad for the comic book readers.
Yeah, I totally agree with David because it's like one of those things where I'm not an X fan. I like X-Men, like certain characters in that. Sure. But I'm like, you know, instead of having a pissing contest, Marvel should just go to Fox and say, why don't we do a collaboration?
And, you I don't know. Know.
It's like, one of those things where it's like, yeah, you know, get over yourself. Get over that you're booming through here with all your movies and that.
Mm-hmm.
Go to Fox and say, hey, we got these Infinity Wars coming up. Why don't we do a collaboration and say that your universe exists and one of those stones crosses the universes over to the point where you have X-Men and Avengers fighting together against Thanos.
Yeah. Did you ever see the Parks and Rec where Patton Oswalt was talking about, like, he was doing the, what was it? He was talking about, like, what the plot of Episode 8 was going to be. And it was like Thanos shows up with the Infinity Gauntlet and ties it all together.
Ties the whole Disney universe together.
It was hilarious because it was like Marvel and Star Wars and, like, you know,
Mickey Mouse shows up.
Yeah, I think he did say that at one point. Like, it's in the second to last season.
Oh, okay.
And I'll go back. Yeah,
I've probably
totally
seen it and I don't remember it, but
because he's got a filibuster. Because he's trying to, the one about Ted Day, where it's supposed tax day or something like that.
Yeah, but I do think that, you know, bringing Spider-Man into the Marvel Universe helps, the Marvel Cinematic Universe helps that universe in a way. But I think doing a crossover where, you know, use the MacGuffin of a gem, one of the Infinity Gems, and bring the X-Men in just for that story so you can say all the Marvel characters were together in one whole movie.
Yeah.
And then at the end of it, reveal that the Fantastic Four is actually existing in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Have it where they do come. They bring them in. Yeah. And that, because then the next movie, like, block could be Secret War.
Yeah. So.
Or, what was it? The Skrulls showing up and taking over and all that, you know?
Secret Invasion.
Yeah,
is a
Secret
movie
Invasion.
That has
that's
to
happen. Yeah.
So.
That would be a fun, you know, fun thing to see.
Yeah. I mean, all right. I know I'm the only one who really cares about this. So, you know, but I think it's important because the X-Men are an important franchise.
Well, I'm curious to see, like, what happened with Cyclops, with Scott.
Well, and that's what happened we're going to learn.
Because
so,
it's like, you know, that's one of the things they haven't revealed in that 8 months
gone.
Later.
Yeah. So,
you know, he died.
All we know is he's dead.
He died in that whole Secret War world.
Yeah.
You know, but it's like, wow, I just crossed over DC and Marvel Secret War world.
Anyway.
We're going Amalgam here now.
Okay. All right.
David, do you remember Amalgam? Did you read any of that?
I did not. No.
Oh, God. No. You got to find some of that stuff. It's fun.
Oh, man.
Check the dollar bins. It's all in
No, it's not. No. That stuff's like, people are trying to find that. The trade paperbacks are expensive on eBay.
All right. All right. Let's talk about TV and movie trailers for a little bit. What about that?
Sure.
So many.
Okay, so American Gods.
Yeah.
Now, that is a comic I haven't read.
No, it's
Neil
a novel.
Gaiman, right?
It's
a novel.
Yeah.
See, I haven't read it, so I don't know anything about it.
I read it when it came out.
David, have you read it?
I have not, but I want to. I know that's really highly praised. I mean, it got such good reviews when it came out.
Yeah,
it's
a really good story. It's a, you know, it's a mythology.
And now, isn't, now, correct me if I'm wrong, isn't it about, like, gods that just, like, live among us in America, obviously? Is that, like, their, is that what it kind of is about?
Well, it's like the old gods, you know, like Odin and all that exist, mm-hmm. and they've been living in America. And new gods are showing up, like, you know, the god of internet and that type of stuff. And
oh,
it's pretty
cool.
much like them having to confront each other on terms of what to believe in.
Oh, very cool.
That's vaguely what I remember. I read the book, like, probably 12 years ago.
Okay.
At this
okay.
point. I forget when it came out, but it's been a long time ago.
I mean, the series is being headed up by Brian Fuller. So
yeah. Okay,
that's
cool.
always a good thing. And then Ian McShane is playing Shadow? No, wait, no. Ricky.
No.
He's Mr. Wednesday.
He's Mr. Wednesday. Thank you. Yeah.
Do you know who Mr. Wednesday is?
No.
Do you want to know who Mr. Wednesday is?
Sure.
I don't. Was
that's
it a spoiler?
Oh.
He's Odin.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it can't be a spoiler for something that's 10 years old.
Yeah. I mean, if you read the book, then. But, like, Cloris Leachman's in it playing one of the gods. Gillian
Crispin
Anderson.
Crispin Glover?
Yeah,
Gillian
Anderson, Crispin Glover.
Orlando Pablo, Jones.
Yeah. Pablo Shriver from.
I mean, it's a solid. And this is Star, so it's the violence that's in the book, because there is violence in the book,
okay.
will be in this. So it's just one of those things where I'm like, I'm glad it got picked up by a cable network and not by a, like,
NBC,
FX or something. Yeah.
So, and Ricky Whittle will be the Shadow Moon.
Yeah.
So, which, if you guys listened when David and I talked about the 100 a couple months ago, we kind of love this guy.
Oh, so, is he on the 100?
He was Lincoln.
Okay.
So
I don't know who Lincoln is.
Yeah.
Even,
he's a really good actor. Yeah, I thought.
Shame on me for not watching The 100.
I know. How dare you? You're fired.
You know.
So David,
no,
welcome,
I quit.
David, welcome to being the permanent host of the year.
Yeah.
So.
No, you got to wait 8 more episodes and then. Let me have my 1-year anniversary and then I'll quit. So.
Johnny will all of a sudden not call, or he'll call like a half hour before he's supposed to be here, and then,
hey man, I'm not gonna be able to make it.
That'd be the beginning of the end.
I gotta stand in line for Star Wars toys. I'm not gonna make it
anyway. All right, so I thought this preview was great. I'm really looking forward to
They didn't reveal too much. They revealed enough.
Yeah,
and it's like, if you read the book, I was sitting there going, oh yeah, I remember that, and I remember this, and you know, there's things I remember, and then there's things where I'm like, I'm gonna have to go back and maybe read that book again.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to check it out.
It's buried somewhere. But
I'm reading Chuck Klosterman's new book right now, What If We're Wrong.
Okay.
And when I'm done with that, I'm definitely going to grab this
one. It's definitely worth a read. And there was a sequel to it called The Anasazi Boys.
Okay.
So, you know, I don't know if they'll tie that into the show at all, but it's definitely, you know, worth checking out. I didn't read that one, but I know that it's out there.
All right. And then the next kind of trailer, and I know this is a Marvel thing, but Legion. It's on FX.
Fox Marvel.
It's definitely a Fox Marvel thing.
Because it's an X-Men universe story.
And now, there was talk that it was going to be included in the X universe.
It looks like it is.
But it's also talk that it's not. It's kind of,
because they talk about mutants in the preview.
Well, and they said the word mutants, which was great. But, I don't know. So, Legion is a very interesting character. I think one of the cooler things about it is the fact that Dan Stevens is playing him.
Yeah. Which, if
you I love Dan Stevens. I mean, I'm a huge Downton Abbey fan.
I was going to say.
Downton Abbey.
David is a big Downton Abbey fan.
What's interesting with Dan Stevens real quick is that he took a big risk. He had a really good gig on Downton Abbey. A lot of people knew him around the world. And then he leaves the show. He's like, I want to do this small movie called The Guest. You know, and it's like, that's a big risk. Mm-hmm. He does The Guest. It doesn't blow up in terms of its sales, but people love it. You know, it's become
a
big
favorite. I haven't
watched
it yet, but I heard
it's
awesome.
Good. Yeah, so, watch it. It's on Netflix right now.
It's on Netflix. It's totally worth watching.
Yeah.
It's
and like, then now he's blowing up. Like, he's getting more and more work. Mm-hmm. So it was a good move on his part to leave Downton Abbey.
And he doesn't really look like
Matthew.
Because
he lost
like
a bunch of weight. He's not a big tubbo. But,
he has a pretty good English accent. It's not, or I should say, sorry, American accent.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
But the guest. It's like the Bourne Identity meets The Hitcher.
Okay,
that's all the best way to describe it. So
yeah, I'll check it out.
It's awesome. David was like, "What?" I think you texted me one day. They're like, "Did you see this yet?" And I had just gotten the screener, And I was like, no, I just got it today or whatever. And you're like, are you going to watch it? And I wasn't planning on watching it. And then David's enthusiasm towards it. I was like, all right, I'm going to watch it. Cool. And so I watched it. And then I watched it again.
David, are you into horror much? Do you like horror movies at all? Or, you know, like
horror every comedy? Now and then. Yeah, like every now and then. Like, I think I'm gonna go see Lights Out this weekend. I saw The Conjuring 2, but I'm not like I don't go searching for horror. But if somebody tells me to go see something, I'll watch it.
Do you like the Evil Dead, like comedy horror type stuff?
Yeah, actually, I've seen the Star series. Yeah,
okay, Evil Dead. Check out a movie on Netflix called Deathgasm.
Deathgasm.
Yeah, it's funny. It's in the vein of like Evil Dead and Dead Alive and that type of stuff. It was just fun. It's a low-budget, fun horror comedy movie.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, if I can recommend stuff, I'll recommend stuff. Yeah.
So then I'll
add that to my queue.
Yeah. The other great little tidbit for Legion is it's being the showrunner and the show creator is Noah Hawley.
Okay.
From Fargo.
Oh, okay.
So, you know that guy can tell a story.
You've talked about that and told me that it's really good. I haven't had a chance.
Yeah, Fargo was one of my top three shows last year. So, yeah, it's so good.
All right, David, did you like, I mean, we both liked the first season.
I thought the second season was better.
Thank you. Like night and day better. Like, and like the first season was awesome. And then you have the second season where it's like, damn, this is what TV should be.
Are they coming back? Is that coming back?
And Ewan McGregor is going to be on it playing two different characters. Okay.
But it's an anthology show, right? Like each year is a different story type.
No,
thing.
It's kind of all tied together loosely. It's just different points in history.
Okay.
So,
all right, cool.
But yeah.
It's one I'll check out eventually.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to Legion. It's on FX, so they'll have some leeway.
Is Aubrey Plaza.
Aubrey Plaza.
I thought I'd
seen
her in the preview.
Yeah, it's got a pretty interesting cast. Yeah. It's Jean Smart, Aubrey Plaza.
Wow. Okay.
You know. Dan Stevens, I think this is one that that could do well.
Don't forget it. You know, it is FX, and FX does push the limit. I mean, remember like when People versus OJ, they dropped an MF. So I mean, it pushes the boundaries as far as you know basic cable will go. I mean, it's almost a premium channel.
I haven't watched People versus OJ yet.
Oh, that's
don't spoil it. I don't want to know what happens because you know
he didn't. Well,
He didn't do it.
No, you know what the funny thing is? Talking about that, I woke up one morning early and was just laying in bed and turned on like I think it's Investigation Discovery Channel.
Yeah,
and they were talking about a serial killer that was from our area, around Hamilton, Ohio, and tied him to OJ because he was in California at that time and he knew Nicole.
Okay.
And they said that he might have been the one that actually did it, and OJ was there outside.
Just hanging out watching.
Yeah, like, because they said he hired OJ to do it. Or OJ hired him to do it, yeah.
Interesting.
And I'm like, wow. And the best thing about it was the way they described his other murders sounded like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's
kind of crazy. I don't know if they'll, you know, acknowledge that.
So everyone watch Legion.
Yeah, watch Legion.
All right. The next is the Lego Batman movie. I feel like this might be the Batman movie we've been waiting for our entire lives.
But not the one we deserve.
No.
No.
All right. I'm going to mute David for the rest of the show, but I'm not going to tell him when I do
Wow. David, you were the new host, but now you're not.
I couldn't help it.
God, this stupid movies. Anyway. All right, so, no, this movie looks hilarious.
Yeah, like, it looks fun.
Will Arnett as the voice of Batman, I honestly never thought it would get better than Kevin Conroy, the one true Batman.
Yeah.
But I really like Will Arnett as the voice of Batman.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So
Ralph Fiennes playing Alfred.
Yeah.
It's like... So.
And the little Robin kid.
Oh, yeah, know, like, yeah, yeah.
As a Robin fan, like... I found that very, very funny.
Yeah.
And I was like,
and just saw the costumes and
oh, yeah.
That one's very improper.
I liked where he's like, oh, but these pants are too tight.
Yeah.
So, David, what do you think of this one?
Oh, it looks great. I'm excited. I mean, when they dropped the first trailer, you know, a few months ago, I'm definitely down for this. Yeah. I can't wait to see this. Yeah. I think it's going to be really good. And I like that it's coming out, what, in February, I think?
Yeah.
You know, it's got an interesting release time, you know? So I think that's going to be... It probably will do well, because February's not a hotbed.
No, the Lego movie came out, like,
The Lego movie was February, like, early movie.
Because the only movie they have, like, around February, those stupid, cheesy romance movies around Valentine's Day. And this, you know, this will be one that, you know, it's not, something else to see besides that.
Maybe Deadpool will make a cameo.
Maybe. There's cheesy romance movies where it's the action star, and then... some girl, and they're like back to back in the movie poster, like,
or it's, you know, the Queen of Dragons and some guy that we don't know.
Oh my goodness,
that's a movie that has come out.
it's out. It is out.
Yeah. All right. So then the last one is Kong Skull Island, with Loki and Captain Marvel both in the same movie.
That's true.
Captain Marvel, and Nick Fury.
Oh, I forgot about
that. And John Goodman.
Yeah.
So, it's got a great cast.
When John Goodman shows up in the Marvel Universe, he's going to have to play somebody like the president that takes over after William Sadler or something.
The head of the people who clean up.
Oh, the demolition crew.
The demolition crew,
Damage control.
Damage control. Thank you.
A TV show they need to do. Like, it's a short run, like an 8-episode type thing, is Damage Control.
Netflix, get it done.
Yes.
So, I don't know. So Kong Island, or Kong Skull Island, looks fun. I mean, you know, it can't be any worse than that horrific Peter Jackson.
This looks like it's set up for a Godzilla Kong movie.
Well, they have to. They made him so big. He's huge.
Well, it's the thing that it's from the producers of Godzilla.
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, they're building the whole monster.
Oh, yeah. This is going to be the Godzilla versus Kong movie.
Oh, it's going to happen.
He looks awesome. I mean, what they show to him, he looks awesome. You know, Samuel Jackson's kind of playing a bad guy again, which, that's fine.
He's a good bad guy.
And John Goodman has been knocking it out of the park lately.
10 Cloverfield Lane was amazing.
Yeah.
Mainly because
of John Goodman. It's nice to see John Goodman doing more work. I mean, I know he's really selective with what he does, and it's nice to see him doing some more work.
It's nice, like you said, he's selective, so it's nice to see he's getting, like, good stuff offered to him. Because I went into 10 Cloverfield Lane with no expectation. Yeah, hesitant. Yeah, definitely. And I left so happy with
Evil
that movie.
Dan Connor.
Wow. That's what I told you. I said he's Evil Dan Connor.
And if you ever meet him, you'll say that. Yeah, I enjoyed your performance as Evil Dan Connor.
I will. And then I'll hug him. And I'll be like, I wish you were my dad.
And he'll be like, security.
There'll be that restraining order.
Yeah, exactly.
And then I guess there was some Pacific Rim 2 news that came out. Charlie Hunnam's not going to be in it because he's doing that god-awful King Arthur thing that looks like garbage.
That's kind of interesting, though. I mean, it just looks like a mashup of like all the Arthur legends into one movie.
So my thought is, like, with this one, though, like, it should be like a Knight's Tale with all the modern music and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, that would make it kind of cool then.
Yeah, but it's already been done.
It's Guy Ritchie, so it's probably not going to be very good. So
I don't know. I liked Man from U.N.C.L.E. and Sherlock. So, I wouldn't say they're, like, in my top 10, but they're decent movies. They're action movies. I mean, they're decent action movies, you know. I've seen worse.
Oh, yeah, much.
I've seen worse.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I'll watch anything, and I've seen worse.
Have you still watched Fanforestick?
Yeah, I watched it.
Oh, so you've seen worse.
Oh, well, you know.
But
it was funny because she was going through the pile of movies the other day, and she goes, "You bought this?" And I'm like, "Yeah,
yeah,
yeah."
But
did you watch it? Yeah,
he's not coming back to Pacific Rim 2. But he said that was expected. He said it was because of scheduling. He liked the story. He liked the story they wrote for him. It was just something where he couldn't make it.
Yeah,
so you know, he couldn't make it work.
No, that's good for Charlie Hunnam. I mean, he's done well after. So it's good to see.
And you know, I make fun of the King Arthur movie, but it's not like I'm not going to go see a movie with sword fighting in it.
Right.
Like, let's be 100% honest here. So.
I mean, that's got a solid cast, too. Littlefinger's in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know.
Bruce Bolton.
Yes.
So.
Yeah.
And Jude Law looks like he's Merlin. Oh,
Jude Law from Alabama.
That's his American cousin.
Jude Law.
Hi, I'm Jude Law. I'll see you in England in the King Arthur movie.
I'm Jude Law. Would you like to buy some moonshine? Anyway.
That's Guy Ritchie doing like Huck Finn and Jude Law's gonna
Sorry, Jed Law.
Jed Law is playing Jim.
I love it. I love it. I love it. All right. So yeah. All right. So let's get to the whole reason there's a Comic-Con and talk about Marvel and DC.
What's a comic book?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, we're going to talk about Marvel and DC TV shows.
It's
and movies.
Not even like Comic-Con anymore because there's not. I mean, there's comic book stuff that happens, and you know, but it's more.
It's pop culture con.
Yeah, it's exactly what it is. They just can't use that name because it's already taken.
Entertainment-Con.
Yeah, I like seeing the pictures of Comic-Con when it was Comic-Con back in the day when it was like two rooms in a hotel.
Hey, David, real quick, did you? Yeah. Did they do any like Voltron panels or anything like that? Did Netflix?
No,
have...
there was the Voltron panel there, but because we had just interviewed, Hakeem Dos Santos and Lauren Montgomery about a month ago, we didn't really feel the need to cover that. But I heard about it. I mean, they announced more episodes, but I mean, I think I told you in a private conversation, Brian, I couldn't say it publicly, but
quote unquote,
yeah, we had talked to Dos Santos, and he'd already confirmed that he was working on more episodes. So we kind of knew it was coming, but I'm excited that it is coming, though. That's good news.
Yeah,
you guys
awesome.
Hiring? Can I move out to Los Angeles?
Right. And the good thing is we're getting it this year. It's not going to be next year. We're getting it this year, which is great, too.
Yeah, David has an amazing life. And he calls me to tell me all the time about how amazing it is.
David, just get me autographs of these people. That's all I'm asking.
It is convenient that, like, living in L.A., all the conventions are so close. Like, E3, WonderCon, Comic-Con, everything's here, which is kind of nice. Yep. It does help.
If you ever need anybody to carry your bags, just fly me out there. I'll carry your bags. I'm a pretty big, stocky guy, so I can carry a lot of stuff
at once. He's strong. He's like a mule.
Anyway. I appreciate it. All right.
Let's start with Marvel. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. David, I know you don't watch it, but they're bringing Ghost Rider in. And it's the Ghost Racer version with the car and the Hispanic kid.
Not the Nicolas Cage version?
Thank goodness.
Johnny Blaze?
No, Johnny Blaze.
Johnny Blaze.
Well, they'll probably mention Johnny Blaze.
I'm sure they will. They have to. But,
the modern version of Ghost Rider has a racing car.
Right.
So it's like, you know, and it makes sense because it's like going to be easier to do effects with a car than a motorcycle. And it's less insurance because, a motorcycle is kind of a dangerous thing to be riding.
So, David, I know you don't watch S.H.I.E.L.D. anymore. Is this enough to bring you back?
No.
No?
No, it's not. No.
Fair enough, man.
Well, and did you see that they said that they're going to start introducing, like, the Inhumans?
Yeah, the main Black Bolt, characters. Medusa, Karnak, Lockjaw.
So, you know, Lockjaw would be cool.
Anyway, I nerded out there for a second, but... No, you know, I kind of think with S.H.I.E.L.D. this is too little, too late that it's going to stand on its own 2 feet away from the movies.
What do you mean?
I feel like this is the last season for S.H.I.E.L.D.
You think so? Well, do you know why Ghost Rider's on there, right?
No.
Because of Doctor Strange.
Oh, okay.
Like, literally, they said that Ghost Rider is the mystic element that will be tied into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to tie it to Doctor Strange.
Oh.
So, you know.
Well, at least we only have to wait until November for
that
to happen.
Maybe Blade will show up by the end of the year. That would be kind of cool.
That would be awesome. Yeah. I love Blade.
Bring back what's his name from the TV series that played
him.
No.
No.
Who you want to play Blade?
Michael Jai White.
No. He's too old.
Well, I mean, so is Wesley Snipes, and Sticky Fingers was never a good Blade, so...
He was decent.
Sticky Fingers.
Sticky Fingers.
That's his name?
I know, it's just funny.
I mean, he has a real
TV
name, but...
series, like, I mean, he did a decent job.
He was good. There was a TV show on FX called Over There. Do you remember that one?
No.
It was an Iraq War one, and he was in that, and he was really good in that. And then they announced he was going to be Blade, I'm like, oh, that's awesome. And then they had that ridiculous hairpiece on him. Like, in the pilot.
I thought he was bald.
Well, he eventually was, but, at the beginning, he had, a Wesley Snipes-esque.
I never seen that.
Anyway. But
I've seen, episodes where he was bald.
Yeah,
so,
and then eventually they're like,
which made sense to me
in a way.
You look
stupid. Let's get rid of that. But, all right, so let's talk about the Netflix series. We found out that Daredevil Season 3 is a thing for, confirmed.
We didn't know that it was.
We got our first real look at Luke Cage. And it appears that the Marvel Netflix go-to thing is hallway scenes, hallway fighting.
Yeah.
So,
Was there any hallway fights in Jessica Jones?
Yeah, in her little hallway, in the little, vestibule hallway of her office where she put that guy through the window.
Oh. So. And then I guess in, what you call it, hallway two.
Yeah.
The cop in that whole fight, yeah.
Now, I wonder, though, what style of kung fu you would call this.
What do you mean?
Like, there's obviously like a special fighting skill that you need to fight in a hallway. It's not just
for Luke Cage just take a car door off and walk through.
How cool was that?
That was awesome.
And then using the ODB song, I'm not the biggest Wu-Tang Clan fan.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
You could just say Wu-Tang.
Whatever. Not the biggest Wu-Tang fan, but that was so cool and it fit perfectly.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, David, what'd you think?
Oh, I love the footage. I was jealous because, one of my coworkers, you know, Michael Medina, he and our friend Ace were covering for Schmoes. They're covering the Luke Cage panel. At the very same time, I was covering the Mr. Robot Season 2 panel, which I was more than happy to do. But I realized that I'm like, oh, wait, they're probably going to show a lot more stuff at this Luke Cage panel. And they got out. They were so hyped. They saw the trailer, but they also showed a lot of clips that we haven't seen yet. So they said everything was just so cool that they loved it. I was jealous. I wish I could have seen it.
You didn't say the name of the panel you went to correctly for the TV Talk fans.
Oh, that's right. Mr. Robot.
Huh?
Yeah.
On TV Talk, they call it Mr. Robot.
Mr. Robot.
It's hilarious.
Yeah, because Josh is from Pennsylvania. Yeah. I think they say
robot. Oh, the robot. Accent thing.
Yeah. It's a robot. Luke Cage looked great. The Iron Fist teaser was pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know, seeing Finn Jones as Danny Rand.
I wonder if we'll see him in Luke Cage.
Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe the end of that. Or maybe he'll just walk by as a homeless man.
David, do you remember when they announced Finn Jones? Were they still filming Luke Cage?
Oh, I don't remember. I can't remember. I'm not sure. I don't remember.
So. I'd be curious to see if he shows up maybe in a scene or something.
Yeah, that'd be great. Like you were saying, like as he walks by a homeless guy or something like
that. Like bumps into him.
Yeah.
And then keeps on walking. So. Yeah, that would be kind of cool.
But that was really cool. You know, and then there was just some minor Jessica Jones news. Nothing really too big.
Are they in production?
Said is not yet. They said basically we're not going to see a new season of Jessica Jones or Daredevil until 2018.
Right.
So after the Defenders.
Process. It's going to be a while. Yeah.
So they're going to record. They're going to film the Defenders, and then she's going to go right into Jessica Jones out of that.
Okay.
So.
All right.
Hopefully that means the other characters will show up on Jessica Jones and she'll get a bigger story than just Purple Man. And then the Defenders, probably the best use of Come As You Are yet.
Yeah.
So, which is my favorite Nirvana song. So it was awesome to see that. But
just all the clues in the preview.
Who is Danny Rand?
Who is Danny Rand? And the Daredevil.
And so, and then Stick's voiceover at the end.
Was great.
I love Scott Glenn. I hope that means he's going to be in there.
Of course he is. So. They got to be defending against what's been going on.
Yep. So, all right.
And maybe an Avenger will show up too.
Maybe. That would be like, you know, little Chris Evans action.
That would be cool.
Yeah. David, who's the Avenger you'd like to see in the Defenders?
Hawkeye.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll do Hawkeye. I think Hawkeye. Jason Bourne kind of character, sure. For sure. Yeah.
I mean, the only other one that I would say kind of would make sense at this point would be Stephen Strange.
Yeah.
Because...
Mm-hmm. Well, he was a defender. Yeah,
he was a defender at one point, so...
What about Black Panther? Wasn't he a defender for a little bit?
I don't think so.
I thought he was.
No, I don't remember him. Hulk was at one point.
That's what I was thinking of. Yeah. Hulk. Yeah, Bruce Banner could show up.
Talking about that, did you see the Gladiator armor?
Yeah, so I have Thor Ragnarok down here. We can talk about that.
That was sweet looking.
So we can talk about that. Yeah, David, did you see the Planet Hulk armor?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. So, again,
did you actually see it in person?
No. Yeah, that was I was in Ballroom 20 that whole day, but our other half of our team was in Hall H at that time.
Yeah.
You failed this podcast.
I know. I couldn't cover both. I could only be in so many places at one time. But no, it seemed cool. Like all the Marvel panel, people got to see Spider-Man footage, you know, Thor Ragnarok. I mean, I was definitely jealous of all that.
So it was were you and Michael in Hall 20 all day?
I was in Ballroom 20 all day, I was covering all the CW panels, which were a little disappointing outside of the Flash panel, which was probably the best.
We'll get to those here in a sec. So Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, Kurt Russell as Ego.
Yeah. They've
said, and I don't know if I necessarily believe this or not, but Ego is Star-Lord's dad.
I don't know. I think Sylvester Stallone's character is going to be Star-Lord's dad.
Hmm.
You think he'll be Jason of Spartax?
Yeah, I was going to say he'll be Spartax,
That's interesting.
That because they haven't said what he is yet.
No.
And no. So, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, it looks cool. I like the panel that they brought everybody out at the panel. I liked that the Ravager showed up with Yondu.
Yeah, Yondu, Michael, what's his
name? Rooker.
Michael Rooker, thank you.
Yeah.
I always want to just call him Rowdy Burns.
Oh, from Days of Thunder. That's like calling Val Kilmer Iceman, just because. That's the only thing.
He's Chris Knight.
Chris Knight.
Real Genius.
Oh, yeah.
David, have you seen Real Genius?
I don't remember the character.
I have not seen Real Genius. I think of Val Kilmer.
Wow. You've never seen Real Genius?
No. I think of Top Gun. I think of Val Kilmer.
I need new friends.
You don't have stars?
It's on there. I actually have stars.
It's on there all the time. Just do a search and DVR that.
You need to watch it. It's a moral imperative.
It is really just a fun 80s movie. John Grease is in that.
Yeah. All right. So, yeah, so we talked about Thor a little bit. That looks like it's going to be good. So, and I know Dave, you're a big fan of Thor.
I'm the Dark World.
So,
I like Thor the Dark
World. I like Thor the Dark World too. I'm of the adults who live in my house. It's split 50-50.
Oh really?
Gosh, she hated it. I'm like, what's wrong with you? She didn't like the first Thor either. Oh, well, I almost divorced her. So, yeah.
Thor is a refined character. Like, you really either don't like that character or you do like that character.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where it's one of the more factioned characters.
Like Alicia, you know, our friend Alicia.
Yeah.
She hates Thor.
Really?
Like, with a passion, like, to the point she won't watch Chris Hemsworth and other stuff.
Wow.
So
something bad happened on a Thursday.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I don't know.
Just one bad day. She had that one
she
bad
did.
Day.
She had yeah. one bad
that
day.
It was a Thursday.
A Thursday.
Walter Simonson like ran over her dog or something. Aww. Like, he was like, here, take this free Thor comic book to make up.
Wow. So,
and she was like, instead of being like, yes, I got one of the greatest comic books from one of the greatest comic book runs ever, she was like, oh, my dog.
And see, that's how I became a Thor fan, was the Simonson stuff.
It's one of the greatest.
The Beta
runs
Ray
of
Bill
ever.
Story is like one of my favorite stories.
So. All right, dude, when is he going to show up in a Thor movie?
I'm betting he might show up in Ragnarok. Because, you know, they haven't told the story, what's going on in that story yet. So, you know, we might get a little Beta Ray Bill action.
That would be awesome.
Maybe we'll get a Thor frog action, too.
Ooh.
I'm down for that.
Yeah.
I'm totally down for that. All right, so then they made the announcement that Brie Larson will be Captain Marvel.
Has she been in anything that I've seen?
She was in Scott Pilgrim. She was Ivy.
Dude, I have to watch it.
The Scott's ex-girlfriend who was the musician.
Oh, okay.
Who was Brandon Routh's girlfriend.
You haven't seen Room yet, Johnny?
No, I haven't seen Room. It's on Amazon. I just haven't.
Yeah.
And then, what else was she in? She was in something else not too long ago.
I'm trying to think if I've seen her in anything that I remember her in. And that, so, you know, it's cool. She looked good. The picture they took of her
with the jacket.
With the hat on.
Yeah.
And that, she looked really good. I'm wondering if the character will have red hair or will have blonde hair, you know?
I don't know.
So, but, I'm curious to see if they tie in the Kree Captain Marvel. And that, since we know the Kree do
exist. Well, the Kree are in
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Yeah. and that, so.
So, she was also in Trainwreck. She was on a couple episodes of Community.
Oh, that's right. She was, what's her name's sister?
Yeah, she was in Amy Schumer. She was in 21 Jump Street.
Oh,
she was the one that Jonah Hill had the thing with. So
she's one of those ones where it's like she's been in a lot of stuff I've seen, but I don't know her until, like, you know, this last year when she's kind of popped out.
Yeah, I mean, she's been working for a long time.
Yeah.
So, but she was on that TV show Raising Dad with, I think that was Bob Saget.
I don't remember that one at all.
But yeah, anyway, no, I think it's a great pick. You know, she's not super well known, and, you know, yeah, I had Bob Saget. But, like, she's got some acting chops. She was nominated, or she won the Oscar, didn't she? For Room?
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I mean, she comes with a certain pedigree. As much as I would have liked to have seen
Katie
Sackhoff. Yeah. Like, this is a really good pick. So.
Yeah. At least Katie's boyfriend's in a Marvel Universe movie.
Yeah, he's going to be in Thor.
Yeah.
So, Bones. But, yeah. All right. And then last thing for Marvel is the Doctor Strange trailer. I guess this is the second one?
Yes.
Yeah.
So what did you guys think?
I enjoyed this one more than the first one, even. Yeah. I like the trailer. I mean, it's got a great cast. I think Cumberbatch, at first hearing him with that American accent, threw me off for a second. But I think he's doing a good job with it. And he's one of my favorite actors out right now. And add Tilda Swinton on that, and Chiwetel Ejiofor, and Mads Mikkelsen. And I think this is going to be really fun. It kind of looks like
Benedict
a little bit of
Wong.
Benedict Wong. Yeah, and I'm a huge Marco Polo fan on Netflix. Looks like this is kind of like a cross between like The Matrix and Inception.
Yeah,
which is cool. So yeah, I'm definitely excited for this.
Did either of you guys watch the animated Marvel Doctor Strange origin movie?
No, I didn't.
If it's not on Netflix, it's on Amazon. I know it's on one of the two. You guys should totally watch that before you go see it, because there's some of that that you can already see.
Yeah.
And you know, for anybody who doesn't know much about Stephen Strange, it's a great introduction to him. It's right on with his origin story and everything, and you get to see both sides of him before he becomes the Sorcerer Supreme.
Yeah, and this movie looks like it's going to take place over a long span of time.
Yeah.
So it's like, that's cool. Mads Mikkelsen as a villain is never a bad thing. No. So.
He's blowing up.
Yeah, yeah. So I got, 2 years ago I met him?
Yeah, that's what you're saying.
A year or two ago.
You got his autograph and everything, so.
Yeah, he was one of those ones where I was like on the fence about getting his autograph because I hadn't watched Hannibal at that point. The only thing I think I had seen him in was the Bond movie.
Yeah.
And just watching him interact with other people, I'm like, oh, I gotta get this guy's autograph. He's cool.
He was so good.
And he's awesome in person. So
cool.
You know, it's one of those things where some celebrities you meet, you are kind of disappointed, and then others you're like, hey, cool. And then when they blow up, it's like even better. So.
Yeah. All right. So moving over to the distinguished competition, if you will.
Yeah.
David. You're going to have to, like, you know, kind of lead this part for us because you were in the room all day. Let's start with Arrow. I know you said The Flash was the best part, but let's start with Arrow.
Yes, Arrow.
Is Arrow going to be able to recover from season 4?
I don't know. I mean, I have hope. We have this new character called Prometheus, but he's not the Prometheus character from the Grant Morrison's run of, or Grant Morrison's character, but just Prometheus, a new character that they've invented. I don't know. I mean, the trailer had a lot of the feel of the previous seasons that we've seen before. It's hard to tell. I mean, I think that it was interesting to see Guggenheim was leading up the panel.
Okay.
So Guggenheim was like, look, I'm here. Even though Guggenheim isn't the showrunner, you know, he just kind of oversees everything. It was nice to see him at the panel. I think he's going to probably take a bigger role and at least, you know, stepping in and trying to see how they can make the show better. Because I think they realize even the diehard fans, you know, even the big-time Laurel supporters and Katie Cassidy supporters, like, they understand the last two seasons haven't been that great.
Right.
You know, and something needs to change. Whereas, you know, talk about Flash later, they had a completely different feel. So I think they're aware of that. I don't know if this is going to fix it because, honestly, the footage I saw looked a lot of the same that we've seen before, but I do have hope. I don't think it can get worse.
It kind of looks like it's going back to basics with him teaching people to be vigilantes again. And, you know, I like the idea of bringing in Wild Dog.
Yeah.
Is Prometheus the guy that shows up at the end of the preview then? The one that they showed online?
He's the guy who looks like another archer. You know, he's got the hood and everything. Yeah, that's his character.
So he might be the Prometheus that was Grant Morrison.
Guggenheim confirmed that it's not. This is a brand new character.
So they're just going to call him that character name and not tie him to that origin at all.
Supposedly, yeah.
That's kind of...
No, with Wild Dog, I really like Rick Gonzalez.
Yeah.
Like, I don't remember if you guys watched Reaper or not. The show
with Tyler Labine. Yeah.
Like, he was great on that one.
Yeah.
So I always like when he's in stuff. And, I typically try
just
to seek out
stuff that
he's
in. Like, the C and D grade characters and making them more prevalent is kind of cool.
Like, and Mr. Terrific.
I mean, you know, Mr. Terrific and Wild Dog and then, she's going to play. Artemis. Artemis.
Yeah,
so it's
Artemis.
Like, you know, they're linking to the history of this character and characters he interacted with.
Yeah.
And then like Mr. Terrific, I think that's a good idea of, you know, boosting him up to more of a character on there.
I just really hope he's not comedic relief. too much.
Yeah.
Like, he needs to be a
badass. He looks a little bit more serious in this season compared to what he's been so far.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, but I'm like, what, you know, are Diggle and Thea and them playing background characters for a while? I mean...
Yeah, David, what did they say about the, you know, the A-team? What's happening with them?
I don't know, because, again, all the shows were very vague about where their characters are going to be in the beginning of the season, except for Flash. Flash was the one, I think because they had the most confidence, came in talking about, like, hey, this is where my character is in episode one. Whereas with Arrow, it was a little more vague. They did a lot of Q&A with the fans, so I'm not 100% sure where everybody's going to be,
sure.
Just except for the new villain and some of the new characters, and that's about it.
All
right. Did they say any more, like, you know, nobody really that I read articles, did they say much about Flashpoint affecting the other shows at all?
It will. It, and specifically, it's going to affect Diggle. Now, they didn't say, of course, Diggle. How that's going to affect him, but they said it's going to affect Diggle's storyline for sure.
That makes sense that his son will probably be in existence. Yeah. Yeah,
or you wonder about his brother too.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, like because you know maybe his brother will be alive then. Who knows? You know, maybe his brother will come back.
His brother Andy will be the hero.
Andy will be a good guy.
Diggle will be the drug kingpin.
Oh,
okay. That'd be interesting. Yeah. That'd be interesting. Yeah.
So,
All right, I would have liked if they would have done the thing where they had Oliver's father in the first half of the season, and Oliver would have been dead.
Yeah.
And then eventually it gets fixed, but they would have done the Batman story that was in the Flashpoint and just used, since they've used enough Batman stories on Arrow. So.
I mean, he's Batman with a quiver anyway, so. All right, so the Flash.
You're just going in order of the shows?
The trailer, yeah, I just have them written down. So the trailer for Flash was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
so good.
You know, Matt, what's his last name? Zoom.
I don't remember his last name. I'm sorry.
Reverse Flash.
Yeah.
Anyway,
Lester or something.
Lester. Where he's all like, "Who's the villain now, Flash?"
Yeah. Well, that's directly from the story.
Yeah, it's from the story, but to see it acted out.
Yeah.
And have him
because he's really good.
Yeah, it was so cool. And then Cisco. I don't know what's up with Cisco.
He's going to be like a tech billionaire. He's going to be like Steve Jobs.
Yeah, he's more like, you know, the rich guy that doesn't know, like, nobody knows Barry, really.
Right.
Yeah, Barry's kind of a background character at that point, because the Iris even says that, like, who are you? Yeah.
So does he have a speed from the beginning?
Yes, he will have a speed. Yeah, somebody asked that question. Said, like, will he have to, like, go through the experiment again and get his speed back? And they're like, no, he will have speed.
Because which makes sense.
That was still one of the coolest parts of Flashpoint, where he was like, okay, hold on, I know how to do this, and had to try a couple times.
Right.
So...
Who is the black speedster, the one that's in the black suit?
They did not announce who that was.
I don't know that character. Like, I've never seen that suit before.
Is it Black Racer, maybe?
Yeah.
Well, Black Racer's New God, so...
Yeah,
I mean, unless he's a Zoom at this point in that universe.
So...
Yeah,
it's cool seeing what's his name, Kenyon Lonsdale.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Kid Flash. He looked great.
He looks awesome. So it's like you know,
the only thing is, I wish they would have grown his hair out a little bit,
like a little bit more,
just because it's a leather, you know, thing, and just kind of with his head being so close, like cropped,
right?
Like, I don't know. I just feel like with a little more hair, it would look so much cooler. But you know, I don't know. Maybe it's
that his character is going to be a little bit more. Fun and young, you know, he's gonna be a little more energetic, he's gonna have fun. He's gonna be like a young kid, almost like a Miles Morales or a young Peter Parker,
or a Wally West,
like more like a high school superhero.
Yeah,
so I'm looking forward to seeing
that. I guess
that.
Like if the universe is altered, he probably has been with Joe, and probably the whole thing that the mom didn't leave, and they grew up together and everything,
or the mom died still. And
the mom would have, like, I bet the mom's still dead, but I'll bet that he grew up with Joe was his father,
sure,
and that because they said Joe's kind of at a low point in his career,
because he had the same I don't know you conversation with Barry, so
and it's like, but, you know, they didn't show anything with Caitlin. So I wonder if we're gonna get Robbie Amell back, maybe, as, you know,
that'd be cool.
Yeah, not Firestorm, but at least as, you know.
Yeah.
What you call it?
Ronnie Raymond.
Ronnie Raymond, yeah. Just because I like Robbie, too, so I'm like, you know, it would be cool to see him at least make a guest.
I really liked him in The Tomorrow People, so.
Yeah.
Well, I'm still going to be curious to see what Katie Cassidy's role is going to be, because, you know, she was confirmed. She is now going to be a, you know, a recurring act, a recurring role in all of the four series, so the main series. So I wonder, is she going to be her Black Siren character?
Yeah.
Is that who we're going to see? Or what iteration of her are we going to see? It's going to be interesting to see where
so
that goes.
So she has that deal. John Barrowman has that deal.
Yep.
Matt Lechner has
that
deal.
Does he have that deal too? Okay. And then
Reverse
Flash.
And then Neil McDonough is going to reoccur on all of them.
Well, right, no, also has a deal as a guy from Prison Break.
Wentworth Miller. That was the other one. So, because they're going to put together, with the Legends of Tomorrow, they said they're putting together a Legion of Doom.
Yep.
So maybe that'll be the Legion of Doom?
Yeah, that's what they said.
Well, no. Oh. The Legion of Doom is different. Legion of Doom is Eobard Thawne and a few other characters, but I don't believe that was confirmed that Katie Cassidy or Leonard Snart will be in the Legion of Doom.
Well, no, but they're doing the Legion of Doom, and then all these characters
with Supergirl, it's like, obviously that's a parallel Earth. So it's like John Barrowman showing up as... Well, I'm just thinking like John Barrowman will be playing Malcolm Merlyn in that universe. And, you know, all these characters will start showing up as their characters, but it'll be in that Supergirl universe. And they'll be playing a little bit different characters. And I think that's a cool idea. If they do it that way, that's a cool idea. Because it's like some of those people would exist in that universe. Mm-hmm. So, you know... I think that's a fun idea. Plus, the crossover is going to, you know, blow it out of the water.
Yeah,
so.
A four-night crossover event.
Yeah.
It's unheard of.
Well, you know.
So, did they give any hints about that, David, with the...
No, I mean, they said it's definitely happening, but they didn't say, like, you know, when or where that's going to happen. But it is happening for
it's
sure.
It's like October, November, probably.
I'm assuming that'll be the thing that writes the Flashpoint ship.
Yeah.
So... But, you know, because Barry Allen is essentially a supervillain.
That would make sense to bring Supergirl and Superman into that universe maybe, too. Yeah. And, you know, then eventually we'll get Batwoman and Oracle.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. All right, so speaking of Supergirl, there wasn't a lot of news at Comic-Con because they hadn't started filming yet. But today we got the first family photo, so to speak, of Superman and Supergirl.
Yeah, it looks cool.
It's a really good looking suit.
Yeah.
For Superman.
Yeah, you put that in the show notes.
Yeah, I'll have to remember to do that. Great.
Who's the boss around here? Oh, it's me.
Anyway, but no, they
Ryan,
they
you're
look,
fired. David, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you.
So wait, how are you gonna record this?
You're just running technical now. You're not gonna be on the show.
You can put it in the credits.
You're gonna be Baba Booey now. I'm getting an evil look right now.
You know I'm an O&A guy. So, all right. So the CW verse, the Arrow verse, whatever you want to call it. You know, I hope Arrow gets good again. I'm really looking forward to The Flash. I'm really looking forward to Legends Tomorrow and the JSA and stuff like that. And then it'll be interesting to see what happens with Supergirl. I still haven't watched the last two episodes of season one.
Oh, see, yeah, then you're not in the know of something.
I am not. So, yeah. But, you know, like I said, I'm
David, did
going
you
to
watch all
them.
Of Supergirl?
I did.
Okay.
I did.
Okay.
So, all right. So now moving over to the DC movies. We got Wonder Woman, the first Avenger trailer, a Justice League trailer, and some more Suicide.
Did you say Wonder Woman, the first Avenger?
Oh, did I?
Yeah.
Oh. Weird.
Shouldn't that be Wonder Woman, the first Leaguer? Yeah. There you go.
So there, first off, it looks great. She looks awesome. It's just way too close to Captain America.
Shouldn't they call it Wonder Woman: Dawn of Justice?
Wow. John, you have the jokes today, man. You're all in with the jokes.
I'm on it. Oh, I'm on it.
You're on
did
it.
You were you drinking before you came over tonight?
Maybe I did.
Yeah, I thought about that, Brian, but I don't know. I feel like it's still her own story because that's who Wonder Woman's been. I mean, we've been seeing her do that World War One thing, even just the animated series. And I know she has a shield and she's blocking the bullets with the shield. But
I'm just
I feel
being
like this
facetious.
Is still... I mean, I'd be as bold to say I think this will be better than the first Captain America movie, I think.
You bite your goddamn tongue.
Hey, wow. Yeah. I mean, Captain America, the first Captain America movie was good.
Yeah.
But I don't think it was a great film. Like, I think this is going to be better just from looking at the trailer.
You know, I really like the look and feel of this. There's just.
Do you think that Steve Trevor's going to be flying over an Arctic wasteland in a plane? And
you can hope so.
That's my only concern.
Diana, just want to let you know I'm not going to make it. We're not going to be able that to dance.
I owe you that dance.
So Steve Trevor is my only concern.
Okay.
And not because, like, I don't think Chris Pine is going to be great, because right. he will be. I think they're wasting Chris Pine. That they're doing it so far back that he's not going to be alive in the for the modern. No,
he's going to be in a block of ice. They're going to find him. He's going to show up in the Justice
League. Yeah, there'll be some time portal, yeah, some mumbo exactly. jumbo. Something will happen.
If they do a block, if they do a block of ice, Chris Pine's too big of an actor for them to see.
You're going to get up and walk out.
I will get up and walk out and be like, I need my money back.
Or what do they do in Star Trek: The Voyage Home? Don't they just like go like warp 9 around the sun, yeah, you know, and they go back? Yeah, let's do something like that. They'll figure it out. They'll find a way.
I'm telling you, it's going to involve Paradise Island. So it'll probably involve Paradise Island.
And I hope
you don't age on Paradise Island or something.
Because I really like Chris Pine. Like,
but I think it would be cooler if they just do him in that story.
Yeah,
and then he's done, but then he shows up as his great grandson,
maybe. Yeah,
yeah.
Steve, they can call him Trip.
It's like that episode of Futurama.
Well, it's what back. They're doing in Captain America.
He becomes his own grandfather.
It can be like the dude who was on S.H.I.E.L.D., whose dad was the Howling Commander, or grandfather was the Howling Commander.
Yeah.
Trip.
Oh yeah, that's,
and
yeah,
so they'll call this Steve Trevor Trip.
It's the thing with Agent 13.
Yeah,
I mean, she's the niece of Agent Carter.
Yeah, but
Agent
Wonder
Carter
Woman's
only
with,
had one brother, didn't she?
Don't remember. Yeah,
and he died.
Well, he had a
baby.
Like, plot hole.
Yeah, that's like a plot hole you could.
A Marvel plot hole?
What?
No. All right. No, but
damn it, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you create plot holes.
The action in Wonder Woman looks great. Gal Gadot looks great. I'm definitely excited to see it. I just, like I said, I'm just worried about wasting Chris Pine. That's all.
Yeah.
So.
He's not got that... them Star Trek movies he can keep doing. Come on.
So, all right. So then the Justice League trailer.
He keeps trim. He's not portly or anything. That's true.
Yeah. The Justice League
trailer. They're going to save the whales in the next movie?
That's what Star Trek 4 is going to
be. There'll be whales here.
Well, that's going to be the whole time travel thing where him and Chris Hemsworth have to go back and save a porpoise.
That's right. Yeah. Right.
A porpoise.
Hello, computer. Computer.
The porpoise will have to communicate with a Klingon probe.
Scotty's going
to
talk
save the Klingon
into
moon.
Scotty.
Into the mouse.
He's going to develop some new type of glass that's so super strong.
Yeah, but no. All right, so Justice League. We got our first look at Ezra Miller as Barry Allen, not with a ratty mustache and mullet.
Or snot running down his face, or whatever was going on. I bought it.
I actually kind of missed the mullet. I like the mullet.
You like the mullet?
I like Flash having a mullet.
Flash. Business in the front, party in the back.
This is a long shot comic.
Hey, that's a character who needs a movie right there.
Hell yeah. But
who
isn't
looking for a mojo, you know, mojo show up in a movie, man? Come on.
Anyway, but no, he did great. And like, I liked his whole autistic like nature of like, well, I should have friends.
I need friends.
I like too, like they're kind of picking on themselves from, you know, Batman, like everything was so intense, and I like, you know, Bruce goes in that big, you know, powerful deep speech, and the guy's like, I'm in. I'm ready, let's do this. So, yeah,
it's like, are you sure? Really? I don't know. It doesn't really feel like Bruce Wayne, but this is a different Bruce Wayne than we've had before.
It's cool because you think Ezra Miller might be the hero fanboy, so he knows who Batman is. And when he sees the Batarang like slowly flying by, he's like, wait a minute, that guy's Batman.
I did like that. Can I keep this?
Yeah.
Now, my reservations for this one are all Jason Momoa.
Really?
Like, the guy cannot act.
I don't know if I agree with that.
Did you watch, he's a bad actor. Did you watch Conan?
Conan is a bad example. That's not his fault, though. That's a horrible script.
I was going to say, did you watch Stargate Atlantis?
Yeah, he was good in Stargate.
He was good in that. He played Ronan Dex, and he was really good on that.
All right, I might have I'm big enough, I can revisit my point of view. But
He was good as Khal Drogo. I mean, you know, it wasn't a character where there was a lot of like emoting.
For Khal Drogo, he had the right look.
Yeah.
I mean, he's an impressive specimen of a man, and you know, would crush me very easily.
Right. As Aquaman, I can see where your reservations are, because Aquaman should be a blonde-haired... Aquaman should... If Paul Walker was alive, he would have been playing Aquaman.
See, I think they missed the boat by not having it be Adrian Greer.
Yeah? Oh, because of the Entourage thing? Nice.
Oh, my goodness.
God.
Vinny Chase.
Yeah.
And that's he should have been Adrian Greer as Vinny Chase as Aquaman.
Wow.
But
do you think somebody in WB was like, yeah, Aquaman's got dark hair because he did in that Entourage show? Instead of going, oh, yeah, he's got blonde hair. They should have just got Justin Hartley.
Or the dude who played him on Smallville.
Yeah, Justin Hartley.
Thad Castle.
Yeah. Yeah, he showed up in the Mockingjay movies.
Yeah.
So he can't play Aquaman.
Anyway, but no, you know,
Justin Hartley, though, he almost had a chance to play Aquaman.
He was awesome. I have that. Like, yeah. They put that on iTunes, and I bought it. David, did you ever watch the unaired Aquaman pilot?
Yeah, I never did. I always saw it, and I meant to, but I never did. That would have been on the CW, right?
Or the WB. It wasn't even on the CW.
The
yeah, it didn't even air.
It was still WB.
It didn't air at all. Yeah. It was just put out on iTunes and the internet. Mm-hmm. It had Justin Hartley, Adrian Padalecki was in it.
Lou Diamond Phillips
was in it.
Bing Rames.
Yeah.
Can't go wrong.
Yeah, so it was like one of those ones where it was like a solid cast. It just didn't work, and then I think because they felt bad, Justin Hartley played Arrow.
Yeah. All right, and then was there a lot of Suicide Squad talk at Comic-Con?
Because
I know
just because it's coming out, you know, in a few weeks. And the big buzz was that new trailer, but they didn't show anything new. It was more like a music video.
Yeah, I feel like the bigger buzz was
For the soundtrack. Yeah,
I feel like the bigger buzz was Henry Cavill going around in the Guy Fawkes mask.
That was pretty cool. Yeah, I think he got their
autographs. And I don't know if you saw the video where he gets down next to Will Smith and then lifts the mask up.
Oh yeah,
and Will Smith looks at him, and then he's like, "Oh,
realize who it is." Nice,
but it's pretty funny. And then Margot Kidd, he had them all. Sign his
shirt. Margot Robbie
and Margot Robbie drew a penis on it.
Nice.
So, because she's awesome.
Yeah.
Totally awesome. But no, I'm actually going on Tuesday. Like, we're recording Thursday, so I'm going on the 2nd to go see Suicide Squad.
Sneak peek.
But you have to work. Yeah. So we'll figure that out.
That happens.
But yeah, so as far as like
I'll see it on Friday when it actually comes out.
Yeah. So did I miss anything? Was there anything we missed about like any of the DC TV shows or movies or any announcements?
No, I think we
Justice League Action. Did they have Justice League Action?
They did have Justice League, the animated series, which was that previewed really at cool.
Not that I know of. I don't know. I didn't see it.
The trailer came out last week. I don't know if it was at Comic-Con or not.
Yeah, I didn't know if that would have been in that panel.
It looks really good in the vein of the original Teen Titans before this nonsense Teen Titans.
Well, I mean, it has echoes of the Justice League Unlimited, and at the Wonder Woman line where she's like talks about Batman and Superman to her mom as being her sidekicks is kind of like that's a classic line right there.
So, but and then I guess the last little bit of DC news is kind of news, non news, but Geoff Johns is now the president of DC Entertainment.
Okay.
Co-president.
Reports to Diane
Nelson.
So they said there's other shakeups coming. I can only hope it means Dan DiDio is going away.
Hey DC, I'll come work for you. I'll come work for you, DC. I've got ideas.
So David, what's the buzz around Burbank there?
All those guys
insider
pretty...
hints you can give us.
No, I mean, nothing I can really say I mean, all those guys seem to be doing really well out there.
David's a schmo now. He can't say anything now. Let's see.
Yeah, I'm a schmo now.
Jeez.
All right. Well, I mean, as far as the superhero stuff goes, I think that's about it.
David, did you do anything besides just sit in the room?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I mean, if you wanna...
tell me something fun you did there.
What did we do, though? Wednesday night, we went to the hitfix.com party, which is always the Comic-Con kickoff party. You know, Wednesday nights, it's fun. It's open bar. And the cast from Silicon Valley was there.
Nice.
So I got to talk to the actor who plays Jared for a little while.
Oh, nice.
So, like, he was there. The guy plays Dinesh. So that was pretty cool.
That's cool.
Kumail Nanjiani.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
So, was TJ Miller there?
TJ Miller was not there. At least I didn't see him. I didn't see TJ Miller. But everybody else was.
Yeah,
so, that was cool.
I saw Michael's pictures and some of your Instagram, but it looked like you guys were having a blast.
Wait.
We had fun.
You have an Instagram now?
He's Instagram now.
I'm on Instagram now.
He has 100% more social networks than he did last time he was
on.
Wow. Yeah, I'm expanding my reach.
So he's he's trying to become a global brand.
Yeah, a global brand. Yeah, exactly.
So his publicist was like, David, you need to get on the Instagrams.
I know.
And
I wasn't doing enough.
I can't do that.
That's too much work. Too much work.
I think the schmoes made him do it, to be honest. But
he hired somebody to actually do it for him. Yeah. Like, you know, he's not doing it. He's got a team that's working for him doing it. And I didn't know that existed until like recently.
Oh, the teams.
Really? Because I watched an episode. I watched Major Crimes on TNT, and they did an episode where that was part of the story.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, this really exists? And then I started looking it up, and I'm like, this really exists. Right. It's like, I did not know that they had teams that hired just for people who aren't like celebrities
mm-hmm.
to make them into internet mm-hmm. celebrities.
And I remember when like the Russo brothers came to the studio and they had like 9 people with them. I asked them, I'm like, who are all these people? And it's like, one lady's like, well, we're with Disney. Other group was with Marvel. Other group was with like their manager. And it was like 9 people. They rolled 9 people deep. I'm like, who are all these people?
And they're
all getting. What's crazy about that is they're all getting paid.
Yeah,
which is crazy. So yeah, it's a good gig if you can get into being a publicist.
Yeah, being a publicist manager. Is the way to do mm-hmm. it. So it's
good gig.
All right,
I'm following you now, Dave.
Nice, thank you.
You're Jerry. Welcome.
So, Dave, where can people find you now online?
All right,
because
your
resume has expanded a bit.
my resume has expanded a little bit. So you know, of course, on social media, you have me on Twitter at @GriffinDE, as well as. Oh. On Instagram at that same name at @GriffinDE.
See,
and then but in terms of like weekly videos, I'm on Collider Video on YouTube. You can find mm-hmm. me on every Monday on TV Talk, where we talk about all things television, which is a lot of fun. And then now I guess I'm working for the Schmoes now, so I'll be on the Schmo Show tonight, actually mm-hmm. on Thursday night. I'll be there talking about basically television, what I recapped and from Comic-Con. And just go on the Schmoes Know YouTube page and look at basically all the TV coverage. I will be in most of those videos. We Sweet. Have a Killing Joke review. We reviewed all of the DC television panels. We even reviewed Rick and Morty and reviewed the Civil War II comic books. That nice. Panel. Yeah, nice. So there's a lot of coverage from Comic-Con up there.
What do you think? What do you think of Civil War II? Like, you've read up to, what is it, number four exactly this week? I haven't read number four, but... What did you think of the first three?
I haven't read it. I haven't.
Hold on, I think the better question is, David, have you read any of Civil War II?
I hadn't read it, and I was like, this looks pretty interesting. So yeah, definitely one.
David, do you just want me to write the review for you? Or?
Yeah, I appreciate it. No. So basically, when you watch the review, I'll
be part of your team.
Yeah. What was crazy is that Guggenheim was there, and Guggenheim, you know, who's the showrunner for Arrow and for Flash and Legends of Tomorrow, he was there, and he's actually writing a Daredevil book. Because right now, so, you know, Johnny, I did learn some spoilers. So spoilers, I guess, if you haven't read Civil War II yet. But, you know, I learned, obviously, that we have the new Hulk. So mm-hmm. we know that Bruce Banner is dead.
Yeah.
And right now, so what Guggenheim is doing is he's writing a story about Matt Murdock, Daredevil, who has to prosecute Clint Barton for the murder of the Hulk, mm-hmm. which is interesting.
That sounds interesting. In that issue where the Hulk is killed, there is, like, a little bit of that story, but you know it was going to be its own like mini series within the series,
and totally awesome Hulk with Amadeus Cho as the Hulk.
I love that book.
It's one of my new favorite comic books.
I need to catch up on that. I read like the first issue, and that was all.
I like binge read it. I got all caught up in a day.
Okay,
and, well, in a couple of like an hour, but because there were only like 6 issues, but
yeah, it's not like it's that far deep that it's.
But yeah.
I think the most recent one is a Civil War II tie-in.
Yeah, so. The last three have been Civil War II because he's playing a big role.
Well, sure, yeah, yeah,
because he's the Hulk.
Well, right,
so, or a Hulk. But yeah, all right. So, David, are you still doing stuff for Screen Rant?
Yeah, occasionally. What did I just do? Oh man, I haven't written anything in a little while. No, I did. I get Marco Polo. I reviewed the premiere and the finale, the new Netflix series. I also reviewed, I did Outlander this season. I did the premiere and the finale for that. I'll probably be doing Star Wars Rebels, you know, hopefully in the fall when that comes out. So, yeah, I'm still over at Screen Rant.
Well, yeah, and because I don't talk to you that much, what did you think of that trailer?
Oh, the Rebels was awesome.
Yeah.
So good. Yeah. Again, Grand Admiral Thrawn. Yeah, that's exciting.
Did you read the original trilogy? the Thrawn trilogy? Did you read
that? I did not, but I am definitely going to read the new book. Like right now I'm reading the new Star Wars book, Life Debt, Aftermath, part two of the Aftermath trilogy. Okay. That's really good. So I'm reading all the new canon books right now. I think I've read almost all of them.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
Awesome.
All right. Well, we're the Infamous Podcast. You can find us at infamouspodcast.com. If you feel so inclined, go head over to iTunes or Stitcher or Google, and please give us a 5-star rating, especially for the shows that David's on. Because
all the shows that David's on.
Well, I was saying just our shows because, you know, you are the fan favorite David Griffin. But anyway, but no, and then we're online, like I said, infamouspodcast.com, and we're Infamous Podcast on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Yeah, Johnny, where can they find you?
I'm at Twitter and Instagram, Johnny Potter, Facebook. You know, just do a name search, obviously.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much all my outlets.
I'm at Brian Tudor on more social networks than you can shake your fist at.
So. Not the magician.
No.
Not the magician.
But he wants that hashtag or handle. So
I can show you a magic trick later, but it involves a pencil.
Thank you, Joker.
You're welcome.
Anyway, guys. All right. So this has been, what are we, episode 54.
Thanks for joining us, David.
Yeah, David, thank you so much.
Oh, of course. Thanks for having me. I always like being on here, guys.
Always a blast when you're on. And
maybe one of these days we'll do a live show with David.
Well,
come out to L.A. Yeah,
that's what I'm talking about. I got to hit a few things out there like Disneyland.
I told you. I'd come. Like, you know, I've been trying to talk my wife into letting me come hang out for like a weekend.
Yeah, that's all I need. One day I did talk her
into letting me
go. Does you guys come out to Comic-Con next year?
Dear Lord. Dear Lord.
The madness.
I used to do a show in Atlanta called Dragon Con. I don't know if you ever heard of that one.
Oh, yeah. Ever
heard of that. They said that, like, Comic-Con's triple the craziness of that one. Yeah.
All right. We'll talk about this off air, but I know how we can get badges for Comic-Con.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, without, anyway.
Something shady's going on.
No, it's not shady, but.
Are you working for the schmoes now?
I know, yeah.
I'm not pretty like David. I don't have an awesome beard.
Oh, do you still have the beard?
Well, I grew it back. It's back.
Oh, okay,
now.
Okay.
So
yeah, took some time off.
Yeah,
the beard has returned. So, but anyway,
I just have an awesome goatee. So you know,
nice.
I have wispy chin hair because otherwise I look like I'm 12 years old. Anyway, all right, guys. Thank you for listening to this episode. Thank you, David. Thanks, Johnny. Any last words?
No, I'm good.
David, any final words?
Just, live long and prosper, in the words of Spock. I just saw Star Trek recently, that's what I'm saying.
Nice. All right, well, later, everybody. Bye.
Bye.